Okay, thanks Hank for connecting up, and thanks Calvin for being back as well. Calvin, as you realize, I just galloped away with this picture which you just made,
and
as you probably realized, all of it fell in place. And Hank, you connected up later. That's very wonderful. You sort of came in the middle of my responding to Calvin's new image on the musical scales, in which we were discussing how, in what Calvin has now done, it is possible to show music, musical composition, but also musical instruments and the way they can respond to vibrations. And my gallop was directly connected to show that in Mathe Music it is precisely about that, to show that our body is like a musical instrument which can respond to music, but that can also create its music. So, Hank, for you, it's probably easiest to help you catch up with this, like everybody else, to listen to the recording that we made for this morning. And what we did this morning was to look at the pictures which Calvin has made in redesigning the images that we discussed earlier. Hank, in the previous sessions, we already talked about the six images that Calvin has created for the tetrionic interpretation of Mathe Musix. The first we had image 1, 2, and 3, and then we started on image 4, 5, and 6. In fact, we got as far as number 4. And so in the next session, where all three of us are together, we can then continue in the same format with images 4 and 5 and 6, that you, Hank, again can show how it reflects what you know in music, that Calvin then again says what he tried to describe from the point of tetrionic physics, and that I give my interpretation of how that could be used in the terminology of Mathe Musix to help us understand how our body and mind work. So for this session, we chose to not continue with 5 and 6 because you weren't there yet, and instead we looked at the redesign which Calvin did on the images, and of that we now have a recording. So you and others can pick it up from there, what we have discussed this morning. And
I resent that full list of 8 files through as well.
So okay, wonderful.
They're the latest illustrations.
Yes. We now had to change the approach because Skype has changed its technology.
Rules of behavior.
As a result of which, we cannot simply drop images into the conversation and immediately have the images accessible. Skype now puts them on iCloud and basically steals information from people by claiming that they now can use it themselves. And so there's a different philosophy behind that. So we're now sending the images by email, which means that we need to put markers in the text when we refer to different images. So that's a bit about the way we're working with it now, and about how far we got in the discussion today. And specifically, we talked about the new the redesigned images of the ones that we were discussing. So this will be presented in the Mathe Musix website as well.
In essence, Hank, what I did was I changed the triangular pattern from the color-coded ones we had back to the spectral lines I sent you that illustration on before Christmas. And all I did was, we've just discussed how that applies. So it lines up spectral lines to musical notes, and it allows us that non-linear ratio, and it allows us to have seven major and five minor tones, or whichever way it goes. It allows all that to be drawn, and then, as I explained it, auto-made connections, which is how my brain normally goes. And when you see the connections, you get excited. You can see things falling into place.
Yeah, and Hank, it would be wonderful, because with your musical and body, voice, backgrounds and experience, these images will appeal to you too.
Yeah.
So I don't know when we have time to do that, but it will be nice to catch your take on these new pictures as well.
The second Wednesday of February, because I'm going for Malaysia for more than 4 weeks tomorrow. So the next time will be half February, I think. February 10th or 11th, something there. On a Wednesday. No, yeah, on a Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, of course it would have been symbolic if you would be able to use your Skype while you were there, sort of have Europe, Malaysia and Australia connecting all the different time zones, but we'll connect it up then when you come back.
Yeah, it might be smarter, because I really have to run for...
I can imagine that. So maybe for now, it would be easiest if, Kelvin, you could reflect back to me and to Hank what your take is on how I did my gallop of seeing how your notation helps to understand how body, mind, soul and spirit connect.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's first see how are we on the timeline for our get together now.
I have about 20 minutes more to join in. So.
Okay. Then do you need some further information on where we were before Kelvin responds?
No, just start where he's going. Just go along with the conversation, and I peep in, because I didn't see the images also that he that Kelvin changed.
Okay.
So just go on in your it's out, because I'm just
yeah. You can download the images in the Skype window, so they'll come
in. Be on Skype. Somebody, one of the two of you haven't downloaded the Skype ones. I put seven on Skype.
Yeah,
seven eight, actually.
Oh, now I got them all. Yeah.
So excellent.
Okay.
So Kelvin, maybe it would be.
Downloaded them.
I clicked on accept, but it says waiting.
Yeah.
So Kelvin, maybe it would be easiest for Hank if you could give a bit of a starting point, and basically just ball it together and say the 15 minutes that we still have. So that we can bring to where do we stand now? We started with math and musics. With Hank, we had this foundation that yes, it must be possible to understand how the cells in the body communicate, and how we can describe that in music notation. We then came up with this question: that music notation, can we understand that in terms of tetrionics? We had to do a little hovel and shuffle, because
I see that it's a very fine shuffle that you did. Yeah, very good.
And the problem that needed to be sorted out first, and something which Hank explained at length in the earlier discussions and explorations of Mathemusics, was that the notation of the octave is in fact very arbitrary. Once you realize that, and that was Kelvin, where you picked up on Mathemusics and realized that something else was needed, that the it's not evident that there are eight notes in an octave or five notes in an octave in a pentatonic system, or 12 notes in the later systems. So you concluded that the basic parallel is that of having a system in which you can have, no matter how many subdivisions, But that the most important link between music and tetrionics would be the energy level notation. And so what you have done now is pulled them across so that the energy notation of tetrionics and the notation for music is in fact the same. And what you presented this morning is that the in the form of the triangles, we can then see the place of the notes. We can see how strings and vibrations in instruments can be denoted. We can even see how musical compositions could be represented in that. And more importantly, we can see how different octaves or different energy levels can be meshed and embedded. And we have then discussed the nesting, in which you have one system within the other on a concentric level, or the embedding, where you have one system within the other at the boundary level. So maybe that is a good starting point for you to bring together to the next level where you'd like to take it.
I've shown some basic mistakes in the thing, and the figure as it is okay, but so if you have music notation, you have only moles or just sharps, so only major or minor keys in it, and not you cannot use them through each other. So and the smartest thing is to make it easy on the comprehension is that you work with the sharps, the sign of the sharps.
Hank, would that be this equivalent to saying that we have arrows, triangles pointing up and triangles pointing down?
That could be also possible. Yeah, but then you have already two triangles, one going up and one going down, and that would be a very refined system. Because indeed the sharps are going up, they are producing an uplifting, staggering feeling of the sympathetic system, and the moles, they produce more the parasympathetic response, or drifting down the chakras, and so you could use them both. So you have the notation only in sharp, and then you have the notation only in flats. Or in minor keys, and then it's congruent, and then you have the real good notation, because now you can't use it in one line, but it's not a musical notation, just doing German and English in one language. So then you get this kind of mistakes.
I'd like to connect up, because one of the things we realize that the music notation has been developed for a specific purpose of music, and it has been very extensively developed, but it doesn't connect to many other things. And so we need to go beyond the music notation as we have it now, but at the same time connect to it. Earlier we spoke about building the bridge between two different continents. And so about connecting music to the physiology and the notation as is. How can we connect that to this new approach which tetrionics can provide? And in tetrionics, of course, there is no need to put sharps and flats separate, because in physics,
incorporate that easily.
Yes, there is some need for it, because there's
let me connect back. I wasn't finished with that. Because it is like on the same flute, you can play sharps and flats. We are not looking now at the level of what we do with the music, like a composer or a musician would do that. But we are much more looking at as an instrument builder, or as a music creator, what music can do. And at that level, the sharps and the flats would be the equivalent of the ambulance driving towards you and going away from you, with the higher note being a sharp or the lower note being the flat, depending on if it is approaching you or receding from you. But in physics, you wouldn't want to look at it as either the one or the other, because that would be an observer-biased perspective. that it would be either the one or the other, but we now want to look at the level where we can describe them both and then choose an observer bias.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's one step further, yeah.
Kelvin, how could you take it from there?
That musical scales illustration number two, my mm-hmm. interpretation, as you see underneath the wording musical scales, is that yeah. A sharp equals B flat, C sharp equals D flat, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If that's right, which I assume it is, based on
yes.
where I got it from and yeah. all the rest, what you're saying, Hank, is basically if you were to draw an arrow on, say, that triangle from the top to the bottom in the center, the force mm-hmm. or linear momentum arrow,
yeah.
if it points upwards, you'd have a sharp.
Yeah.
If
yes.
it points down, you have the equivalent flat, as
yeah.
per what we've got there. So it's only a simple case of me adding an arrow and pointing in two
yeah.
directions, saying sharp's pointing up, flat's yeah. pointing down,
yeah.
and then they just read that bottom line and makes that equivalence. But we can
then yeah. it's also consistent, yeah.
Yeah, and I can then change. I only left those B flats in because, and the A flat because that's why I put the notation underneath the word musical
yeah.
scales, because
yeah.
I did read somewhere that translation,
yeah.
but I thought, oh, well, I'll just leave it like that just to keep the A, C, D, E, F sort of consistent.
Yeah.
But it's easy to, once you draw the
yeah.
arrow pointing up and
yeah.
down saying sharps
yeah.
and flats, people will quickly make that arrangement. And what
yeah.
you're saying, Otto, is perfectly right, because if you look at that triangle from above with the arrows pointing up for sharps and down for flats, if you were then to observe that arrow, the triangle, as an observer
yeah.
at the top of the page looking down, you would see sharps coming towards you and flats going away, longer
yeah.
wavelengths, just like red
yeah.
shifting. So that all lines in perfect with physics, and it's easy to accommodate just by drawing that
yeah.
arrow and
yeah.
notating and sharps and flats.
That's just the simple solution where I asked for, but I didn't know how to
yeah.
to put it in the right word. But
yeah.
thank you
yeah.
for.
I wasn't aware of the up and down.
Yeah,
I just knew that there was a relationship between them, but as to what it was, I had no idea.
Yeah. I would like to connect up to something else, because we in the previous session we already spoke about the importance of the spirals, and that in the spirals
yeah.
it was actually visible that if you go from one level to the other, the spirals will go in the one direction or the other, and that in
yeah.
fact in the spiral notation we have the same as what we see in the organs, that there is this rotation like the lemniscate, a double spiral would be a Cornu spiral, which is the dynamic of the organs, but that in music we have already explored that in an earlier recording. The spiral notation will actually account for this difference between the sharps and the flats, because at that time we were looking at the difference in going up a scale or going down a scale. And at that time we were talking about the difference in the notation in tetrionics, is that you go from one circle to a larger circle or to a smaller circle, but it also means that when you go up, the steps will be seemingly different than when you go down. And that is again because of the observer bias, because of the involvement. And in the notation where we are now, we have a very powerful point that what Kelvin has provided is a notation which has no observer bias. And what Henk is addressing is that musicians will always operate
yeah.
with observer bias. But
yes.
now with this, I assume that it is in that spiral notation that we can find the bridge between them.
Yeah.
I've got some illustrations from another project
yeah.
I did that I can send you through once I find the main one for it. Otherwise, you'll get confused. But what you're relating to, Otto, here is basically the difference between our current polar view or top-down view of the equilateral
yeah.
triangle of notes or energy versus looking from the point, from outside, which basically towards the triangle, which basically describes explosions versus implosions. The lemniscate, not the lemniscate, the Fibonacci spiral that we discussed previously in the illustrations. Yeah. Spiral pattern, either spiraling outward or spiraling inward, in which case the outward spiral would be caused by sharps. The inward implosions would be the result of flats pointing downwards, inwards. So I'll send you this illustration. I've just found it. It's one I did up this week, yesterday or the day before, for a completely different discussion on Facebook. But it all relates. It's a picture of implosions versus explosions, which relates back to our other spiral patterns with the pink arrows. And all you do is, if you want, you can cut it out, and that's what the photos that'll be attached with it represent. It's you print out that page, you then cut out the left-hand hexagon and cut it into triangles, and then you cut along the pink arrows and you slide the triangles into the arrows, and what you would have is, looking down from the top on that model that you see in the photos that you can make, is the polar view that Otto's referring to as the non-observer bias. It's just the overview of the system, the musical notes or the energy. Whereas if you tilt it on the side as I photographed it, you then have an observer bias. Sharps would be going out towards you, creating larger spirals, whereas flats would be causing an implosion and the spiral would be going towards the center, like down the drain. So I'll just grab those files and I'll send them through to you, and you'll see it, what I'm talking about, when Calvin, you get it. But it's
in a way, what you're describing now, what you describe now is also in a way implied already in that image of the Mater Music's description of the unit circle, and maybe it's something to get back.
It all ties in
to that.
The geometry of the energy relates photons to the musical sine wave, to the unit circle, and that the changing wavelengths, or the increasing frequencies, decreasing frequencies of those triangles, creates spirals, inward or outward spirals, implosions or explosions, as the result of flats and sharps.
Yeah, because there's something very powerful.
You just put a sharp.
Yeah,
and
because
on the you put a flat.
Yeah, because this is also where we then have a direct connection between the flats and the sharps, and the implosions and the explosions. Yeah. Wonderful pictures yet again. Because this is where we then see also what Henk, and I really like that, Henk keeps on bringing up that we are dealing with a system where our emotions are always involved. So we always have our own emotions that we need to address, so we cannot stay with the neutral observer system of physics. We must connect it to our own involvement, which is basically what I tried to describe in the languaging of involvement, with the mathematics of involvement, the physics of involvement, the biology of involvement, the consciousness of involvement. And that is then where we see that when things start to move towards us or away from us, where we need to deal with it or we need to let go of it, that is where we are actively describing our creative participation in creation. So we are getting at the point that we are really stepping beyond classical physics, and that we are also able to give a deeper meaning to music, because then Mater Music will actually be able to show that everything that musicians have found will apply in physics, so that they are no longer separate, and that it will be possible to go from music to a very neutral thing of, okay, there are frequencies interacting, and from physics we can go to the participational things of, yes, but we have to learn to deal with it. And then, of course, once that is in place, the healing of Earth and humanity will be a matter of minutes. Henk, just a question. You said that around now you needed to... go off,
to make other phone calls and do
okay
things.
And you said you're back second Wednesday in February. Then I would like to suggest that for now we round it off, because this is the time where you need to round off. You'll find the recordings of the session of today. But as you're going now, you'll find them later, but everybody can find them in the same place on the internet. And well, maybe each of you can just give a final statement before we round off the recording. Hank, would you like to start?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how we are still getting to a deeper layer also of music by indeed this spirals going up and downward, the explosions, the implosions, and the scales, the scales of music we are using, and if it's a sharp or a flat, and it's very amazing to see that that we made this connection already for musicians to understand math, or this geometry indeed, and it's fascinating to see that we can make things meet from one division, so we just make a connection between art and science.
Yeah,
but then on a real base thing that you both speak the same languages in the same language, and then we see where the languages meet and how we it's like a Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Because it was always lacking because Pythagoras once had this knowledge of how to interconnect all those things, and maybe that's why we have pyramids, but they we have tetrahedrons, so
yeah.
there's no solution. Or maybe we just to make Calvin crazy in the new year. We found it wrong. It's a pyramid.
I'm all past crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy is in my rear vision mirror.
Yeah. Calvin, how does it come together for you?
Oh, it's good. I mean, like, even just that one comment about sharps and flats, I can make connections with the geometry. And obviously, maths has always had a connection with music, albeit completely foreign to me. But then people will say tetrahedronics is completely foreign to them. But as you say, this equilateral triangle, when you view it like I do in tetrahedronics, does become a Rosetta Stone. Once you get your head around the basics, you see patterns and you see connections that you couldn't see before, and it's letting me connect things to mathematics and to music, etc. But at the end of the day, all we're doing with tetrahedronics is that first illustration, the median bisector, the square root of energy triangles, creates a force, and that's the same force that light produces as what sound produces when you hear a note.
Yeah.
It's just a different wavelength. So all we've done is applied the same geometry. Because it's equilateral, it can scale, and it allows us to make these connections and explain things. We can either make it a holistic view of music theory by looking at it from the top, as we have done, or as we're discussing tonight, we can start looking at it from the side-on view, which is how Newton looked at things, and just look at the curves and the spirals without worrying about the triangles that are making them. But once, now that we have this understanding that it's triangles that not only make them but can map these relationships, everything starts to fall into place. And as I get more and more information, I'll change the illustrations. I've already got half a dozen more illustrations I'll have to create from tonight's discussion, and amend the existing ones so that we can incorporate this information. But bear in mind, as we become more familiar and the illustrations become more accurate, they also become more foreign to people that look at it for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like my work. I can look at my work and talk about any page for half an hour with all the information that's packed into it. Most people miss the information, or they completely misinterpret it. They just, some like mathematicians often look at my work and just think I'm a religious nut out to try and weave the Star of David into physics, when in fact it's the other way around. Physics creates the Star of David. I can't change the shapes that it makes. So I've got to present it as it is. That's the facts. So we'll go down the same track. We'll develop this and get it more and more accurate and more and more aesthetically pleasing and understand it better ourselves. But we have to be aware that it's also going to jump out at people that first see it, and they're going to go, what are you smoking? I mean, like, this is way off track. But once they get their head around it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's where I see the power. I'm sort of working toward the rounding off because of the timeline that Hank implied. Yeah. I see that the problems which you address, Calvin, are solved by our possibility to now do something spectacularly new, which is to show how tetrionics describes what happens in the energy levels of the atoms, but that it is possible to understand that that is also what happens in music, that music is actually another form of notation for that. And the whole goal of math and music is to show how it works in our body. And that, of course, stifles all of the discussions, because once you can feel how it works in you, in mathematics you can see it, it is symbolic. In music you can hear it, you can feel it. But in our body, we are it. And math and music is actually has the purpose to show that what we know in science and what we know in arts can help us to go to the deeper level of healing, which puts at the level of being ourselves better, being better at being ourselves. So that then takes it out of the discussions into an experience. So shall we round it off for now?
And can I say one thing, because I was talking to you while my microphone was closed. So I just sent you a text message for the Interstellar movie. Did you see it already? Or
and
wonderful. Yeah, so it was a magnificent film, also to see the things that we were talking about, and that you see the things how they have created it in the movie again.
And of course, once you know tetrionics, you see that there's so much there that they can still learn.
Yeah.
I was biting my tongue there, right?
Because they modeled it as far as they could, and they had extensive computer simulations to model from the perspective of tetrionics, an old hat theory. But then what we are talking about in math and musics, it's actually going way beyond that, because now we're connecting physics to the physiology. So we're connecting art to science, as you mentioned, Hank. And as you mentioned, Calvin, we are now developing a new theory, a new model, a new description for something which we actually are. So that makes it very practical indeed. I'll just close off the recording for now. Calvin, I'll come back to you. Hank, I wish you a very good journey.
Thank you very much. And enjoy the drawings and the talks, because it's a really a delight to join in.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Hank. Thank you, Calvin.
See you in February.
No worries.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.